Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Monday, March 11th, 2024. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, Epic got Apple to blink. Sam Altman got back on OpenAI's board of directors. Reddit finally gets to IPO. Elon Musk says X.AI is going to open source Grok. And once again, you won't believe the degree to which your car and your driving is the new data treasure trove for companies to monetize. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. This is one of those Mondays where I have to catch you up on some things from last Friday before they go down the memory hole. First, Epic said Apple has reinstated its developer account, clearing the way for Epic Games to have a game store in the EU. Tim Sweeney says the move was followed by a swift EU inquiry. So Apple blinked 100%, but also, again, didn't they just bring this on themselves? Quoting 9to5 Mac. Here's what Epic Games says in a new update to their blog post from Wednesday. Apple has told us and committed to the European Commission that they will reinstate our developer account. This sends a strong signal to developers that the European Commission will act swiftly to enforce the Digital Markets Act and hold gatekeepers accountable. We are moving forward as planned to launch the Epic Games Store and bring Fortnite back to iOS in Europe. Onward, end quote. Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney added this color on X, quote, the DMA went through its first major challenge with Apple banning Epic Games Sweden from competing with the App Store, and the DMA just had its first major victory. Following a swift inquiry by the European Commission, Apple notified the Commission and Epic that it would relent and restore our access to bring back Fortnite and launch Epic Games Store in Europe under the DMA law. A big win for European rule of law, for the European Commission, and for the freedom of developers worldwide to speak up. Hashtag free Fortnite, end quote. So what changed? Apple tells 9to5 Mac that it has held further discussions with Epic. The result is that Apple has received proper commitments that Epic will play by the rules as legally defined. Quote, following conversations with Epic, they have committed to follow the rules, including our DMA policies. As a result, Epic Sweden AB has been permitted to re-sign the developer agreement and accepted into the Apple developer program, end quote. So again, pretty wild 48 hours with this story and pretty wild own goal by Apple. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. As Games Frey put it, Apple's handling of Epic's account closure turned what was essentially a U.S. contract dispute into a DMA enforcement priority due to the appearance of a gatekeeper silencing critics. Quote, for the first time, Apple is now paying a price for its hubris, for its ruthlessness, and for the disdain with which it treats developers. Apple used developers to build its market power and increasingly just treats them as serfs. There is hardly anything worse in the free world than for a bully, which is what Apple appears to be in this context, to be accused of using its market power to silence critics. This is not your average antitrust matter where the question is where to draw the line between hyper-competitive, allowed, and anti-competitive, illegal behavior. This here is about fundamental values. Apple comes across as a company that has only two values, power and money. For the avoidance of doubt, this is about appearance more so than substance. But Apple has no one to blame for that appearance but itself. It optimized for the courts of law, not for the court of public opinion. If one analyzes the sequence of events against a backdrop of a cross-jurisdictional dispute, it's clear that silencing Tim Sweeney was not Apple's primary objective, which is not even certain, but that makes it all so stupid. They wanted to achieve something else, and now they came across as an anti-free speech bully. That's why Steve Jobs must be turning in his grave, end quote. And OpenAI announced that Sam Altman is rejoining its board of directors alongside three new members, Sue Desmond-Hellman, Nicole Seligman, and Fiji Simo. Quoting Axios, OpenAI's board also added three women to its ranks, Sue Desmond-Hellman, former CEO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Nicole Seligman, former EVP and general counsel at Sony, and Fiji Simo, CEO and chair of Instacart. I am pleased this whole thing is over, Sam Altman said on a call with reporters, noting that it has been painful to see people with an agenda leak things. In response to a question from Axios about how OpenAI will change going forward, Chairman of the board, Taylor, said, we did adopt a number of governance enhancements, highlighting a whistleblower hotline and a new mission and strategy committee on the board. The mission has not changed because it is more important than ever before, Taylor added. Having said that, I did learn a lot from this experience, Altman told reporters, end quote. This all came after that independent investigation commissioned by OpenAI found that Sam Altman's conduct before his ouster, quote, did not mandate removal, quoting The Verge. For those seeking to better understand why Altman was suddenly fired from his perch last fall, OpenAI's public summary of the WilmerHale investigation is frustratingly light on details. The law firm said the board believed it, quote, would mitigate internal management challenges by firing Altman suddenly, and that the, quote, decision did not arise out of concerns regarding product safety or security, the pace of development, OpenAI's finances, or its statements to investors, customers, or business partners, end quote. The summary of the investigation uses the same vague language that OpenAI's previous board published to justify its decision to fire Altman, that the incident, which I'm told OpenAI employees refer to as the blip, was a, quote, consequence of a breakdown in the relationship and loss of trust between the prior board and Mr. Altman, end quote. WilmerHale also found that the prior board moved, quote, without advance notice to key stakeholders and without a full inquiry or opportunity for Mr. Altman to address the prior board's concerns, end quote. And more from Bloomberg. It sounds like the board's decision to fire Altman was because of a, quote, breakdown in trust, not concerns about, again, product safety or the pace of development. Quote, the startup did not release the full findings of the review, but in a summary, it said WilmerHale determined that the prior board, quote, did not anticipate that its actions would destabilize the company in firing Altman and acting on an abridged timeframe. Based on lessons learned from the review, OpenAI's board said it has adopted a number of new governance changes, including strengthening the company's conflict of interest policy, creating a whistleblower hotline for staffers, and launching additional board committees, including a new mission and strategy committee focused on the, quote, implementation and advancement of the company's mission, end quote. Elon Musk says XAI plans to open source Grok this week. XAI released Grok in November, offering access to real-time data via its $16 per month X subscription, quoting TechCrunch. Musk, who didn't elaborate on what all aspects of Grok he planned to open source, helped co-found OpenAI with Sam Altman nearly a decade ago as a counterweight to Google's dominance in artificial intelligence. But OpenAI, which was required to also make its technology freely available to the public, has become closed source and shifted focus to maximizing profits for Microsoft, Musk alleged in a lawsuit filed late last month. The lawsuit has ignited a debate among many technologists and investors about the merits of open source AI. Vinod Khosla, whose firm is among the earliest backers of OpenAI, called Musk's legal action a, quote, massive distraction from the goals of getting to AGI and its benefits, end quote. Mark Andreessen, co-founder of Andreessen Horowitz, accused Khosla of, quote, lobbying to ban open source research in AI. Quote, every significant new technology that advances human well-being is greeted by a ginned-up moral panic, said Andreessen, whose firm A16Z has backed Mistral, whose chatbot is open source. This is just the latest, he said. That received a tweet response from Khosla, who wrote, quote, and at PMARCA, would you open source the Manhattan Project? This one is more serious for national security. We are in a tech economic war with China and AI that is a must win. This is exactly what patriotism is about, not slogans, end quote. It's finally here. Reddit has filed to raise up to $748 million in its IPO, selling 22 million shares at $31 to $34 each for around a $6.5 billion valuation. Reddit also set aside 1.76 million shares for users, quoting CNBC. These Redditors will be able to purchase those shares and then sell them when Reddit goes public, as they won't be subject to a lockup period, which typically prevents investors from selling shares for 6 months after the IPO. The company warned in its S-1 filing that Redditors who participate in its IPO, quote, could result in increased volatility in the market price of the company's Class A common stock. Other companies that have gone public and allowed certain community members and others to participate in their IPOs via similar directed share programs include Doximity, Rivian, and Airbnb. Some of the company's notable shareholders include Tencent, Condé Nast, parent company, Advanced Magazine Publishers, and OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, who was a member of Reddit's board of directors from 2015 to 2022, end quote. We're being sponsored today by a company on a product that longtime listeners know I have used for years and cannot, literally cannot live or at least work without it. 1Password. 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring private, secure, and user-friendly password management to everyone. Companies lose hours every day just from employees forgetting and resetting passwords. A single data breach costs millions of dollars. 1Password secures every sign-in to save you time and money, any device, anytime. 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else: your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password generates as many strong, unique passwords as you need and securely stores them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. I started using 1Password, a decade ago? Join me and over 100,000 businesses on board the 1Password bandwagon, because right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/ride. That's 2 free weeks at the number one, the word password, all one word, .com/ride. 1Password.com/ride. Recently, the world learned the power of artificial intelligence, a technology cybersecurity leaders have been leveraging for years. Now, as AI expands and evolves, those same security leaders are left wondering where humans fit into the next generation of AI-empowered security tools and solutions. Arctic Wolf, the industry leader in managed security operations, seeks to answer this question in their newly published report, The Human-AI Partnership. Access the insights of over 800 cybersecurity decision makers in North America and the United Kingdom to better understand how organizations are weighing the benefits and risks of deploying AI tools. Uncover the biggest obstacles to turning AI and human engineers into a formidable team. Discover why the near-term benefits of large language models are being upended by a crucial flaw in the technology. And learn what the rise of AI tools mean for human practitioners moving forward. Get your copy today at arcticwolf.com/techmeme. That's arcticwolf.com/techmeme. With Reddit going public, what are the remaining platforms that still could hit the public market someday soon? TikTok, maybe as a solo entity. Discord. What about Telegram? Well, Telegram founder Pavel Durov says Telegram has 900 million users and hopes to, quote, become profitable next year, if not this year, and was offered more than $30 billion valuations by VCs for Telegram, but is considering an IPO, quoting the FT. We are hoping to become profitable next year, if not this year, said the Russian-born founder in his first public interview since 2017. He added that the platform has 900 million monthly active users, up from 500 million at the beginning of 2021. Durov, who fully owns Telegram, said the company had been offered $30 billion-plus valuations from potential investors, including global late-stage tech funds, but has ruled out selling the platform while it explores a future initial public offering. The main reason why we started to monetize is because we wanted to remain independent, he said. Generally speaking, we see value in an IPO as a means to democratize access to Telegram's value, end quote. Once largely home to the freewheeling cryptocurrency community, the company, which only has about 50 full-time employees, has exploded in popularity over the past few years to become a vital communication tool for governments and officials globally, as well as a lifeline to citizens in conflict zones. Researchers warn that the lightly moderated platform remains a hotbed for criminal activity, as well as extremist or terrorist content and misinformation. Critics have suggested that the Kremlin may have links to or leverage over Telegram, a claim that Durov dismissed as inaccurate. Durov was hailed as the Mark Zuckerberg of Russia after co-founding the country's most popular social media network, VKontakte, in his native St. Petersburg in 2007. A free speech advocate, he founded Telegram in 2013 with his brother. According to Durov, he fled Russia a year later after refusing to share the data of certain Ukrainian users of VK with Russia's security agency. Durov has said he sold his shares in VK to Kremlin-friendly oligarchs for $30 million. Under duress. Two people close to the matter said Telegram would probably aim for a U.S. listing once the company had reached profitability and market conditions were favorable. Durov declined to comment on a timeline or a possible venue, but said Telegram had, quote, studied several options. Telegram has raised about $2 billion in debt financing from a $1 billion bond offering in 2021, as well as further issues of $750 million and $270 million conducted last year, end quote. finally today, another reminder that cars are the next tech platform frontier for good and ill. GM, Honda, Kia, Hyundai, and others have added optional features to their apps to rate people's driving in recent years, also apparently offering that data to brokers like LexisNexis, quoting the New York Times. Ken Dahl says he has always been a careful driver. The owner of a software company near Seattle, he drives a leased Chevrolet Bolt. He's never been responsible for an accident. So, Mr. Dahl, 65, was surprised in 2022 when the cost of his car insurance jumped by 21%. Quotes from other insurance companies were also high. One insurance agent told him his LexisNexis report was a factor. LexisNexis is a New York-based global data broker with a risk solutions division that caters to the auto insurance industry and has traditionally kept tabs on car accidents and tickets. Upon Mr. Dahl's request, LexisNexis sent him a 258-page consumer disclosure report, which it must provide per the Fair Credit Reporting Act. What it contained stunned him. More than 130 pages detailing each time he or his wife had driven the Bolt over the previous 6 months. It included the dates of 640 trips, their start and end times, the distance driven, and an accounting for any speeding, hard braking, or sharp accelerations. The only thing it didn't have is where they had driven the car. On a Thursday morning in June, for example, the car had been driven 7.33 miles in 18 minutes. There had been two rapid accelerations and two incidents of hard braking. According to the report, the trip details had been provided by General Motors, the manufacturer of the Chevy Bolt. LexisNexis analyzed that driving data to create a risk score, quote, for insurers to use as one factor of many to create more personalized insurance coverage, according to a LexisNexis spokesman, Dean Carney. Eight insurance companies had requested information about Mr. Dahl from LexisNexis over the previous month. In recent years, insurance companies have offered incentives to people who install dongles in their cars or download smartphone apps that monitor their driving, including how much they drive, how fast they take corners, how hard they hit the brakes, and whether they speed. But, quote, drivers are historically reluctant to participate in those programs, as Ford Motor put it in a patent application that describes what is happening instead. Car companies are collecting information directly from internet-connected vehicles for use by the insurance industry. Sometimes this is happening with a driver's awareness and consent. Car companies have established relationships with insurance companies so that if drivers want to sign up for what's called usage-based insurance, where rates are set based on monitoring of their driving habits, it's easy to collect that data wirelessly from their cars. But in other instances, something much sneakier has happened. Modern cars are internet-enabled, allowing access to services like navigation, roadside assistance, and car apps that drivers can connect to their vehicles to locate them or unlock them remotely. In recent years, automakers including GM, Honda, Kia, and Hyundai have started offering optional features in their connected car apps that rate people's driving. Some drivers may not realize that if they turn on these features, the car companies then give information about how they drive to data brokers like LexisNexis. Automakers and data brokers that have partnered to collect detailed driving data from millions of Americans say they have drivers' permission to do so. But the existence of these partnerships is nearly invisible to drivers whose consent is obtained in fine print and murky privacy policies that few read. Especially troubling is that some drivers with vehicles made by GM say they were tracked even when they did not turn on the feature, called OnStar Smart Driver, and that their insurance rates went up as a result. GM's OnStar Smart Driver service is optional to customers, a GM spokeswoman, Mallory Luchik, said. Quote, customer benefits include learning more about their safe driving behaviors or vehicle performance that, with their consent, may be used to obtain insurance quotes. Customers can also unenroll from the Smart Driver at any time, end quote. But the other troubling thing would be, could your auto insurance rates go up if you choose to opt out of joining any such program? As my mom likes to say, the internet era is all about it being impossible not to know anything. It's possible now for insurance companies to know how you drive with perfect recall and fidelity, so they are strongly incented to make it impossible for them not to know that. Nothing for you today. Talk to you tomorrow.